Morning. I told Donna I'd say just a few words about Life Chain today, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time about it. There's a table out in the foyer you can look at if you're interested. And today at St. Teresa's Catholic Church at 1230 Merle Hay Road, between the time of 2 o'clock and 3:30, and you're invited to come and hold a sign up on the side of the street. And I've been doing this for my wife, and I've been doing this several years with Donna and Harold. And I can guarantee you that we haven't had any rotten eggs thrown at us or any tomatoes. Most people go by, gives us a thumbs up, but once in a while we get an unfriendly wave. that's all I'm going to say about that. But we get a lot of honks, and I guess I'm really kind of surprised how many people really are against it, abortion. So you're invited to come today and help us hold a few signs up if you'd like to come today. Today the Lord has laid on my heart to talk about the last command. First of all, I'd like to say thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share God's word with you. Even though we have not had a preacher, and it's been a joy and a pleasure to fill in and share what God has laid on my heart. You know, Zach talked about a command today that we are to come together and remember the Lord in his death. There are several commands that Jesus gave us before he left this earth. And the purpose of sitting at the table is to remember the sacrifice that was made for you and me, that we can have freedom from the penalty of our sins. I want to look at, I would call this the last command, because in the very end of Matthew, the very end of the chapter, Jesus gives us another command. And I like to read the verses, these verses, starting with verse 18, chapter 28, Matthew. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we have this opportunity to gather around you today to worship you and to think about things of you. We pray that you would guide and lead this message by your Holy Spirit, and be words from you, and that our ears would be open to hear what you have for us in our hearts. Guide and direct this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here we find, first of all, that Jesus has been given all the authority in heaven and on earth after he was crucified, rose from the dead. But he was given the authority from God the Father over heaven and earth. That's everywhere in the universe and here on earth. For he has the power for remission of sin. He has the power for teaching and the power of governing his church and the power to give eternal life. Think about what an awesome Savior we have that can grant us remission of our sins, true forgiveness for everything that we have done, and have the power to give us eternal life forever. There's three things I want to look at today that the disciples were told to do here. You can probably guess them by what we read. One is to go make disciples. One is to baptize them, and one is to teach them to observe all things. We're going to talk about go make disciples first. Disciples means to make a follower of Jesus. We find that go here is an action word. We are to go into the world. You know, many that go out on the mission field, they use this passage for going elsewhere in another country to share the plan of salvation. And then I've heard some say, well, it's the preacher's job to reach the lost. But we're told in Acts that the church grew daily. How did this happen? The Christians at that time must have been sharing the gospel with those around. Something that we need to be doing. I know a few weeks ago I talked about scattering seeds, but today I want to go a little bit deeper and challenge our hearts today. In Mark 16, 15, it tells us to preach or to share the gospel with everyone. That doesn't mean just in Africa. Maybe some other country you could think of that's probably dark, or in California. It means right here where you live. And what are we to preach? First of all, I believe that Jesus, it's important that we stress that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came and he died on the cross and shed his blood to save sinners. We're told this in Matthew 9:13. We're told there that I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus came here for a purpose. And in Romans 3:10, we're told there's not one of us that are righteous. Outside of being a Christian, no matter how good we may think we are, we're not good enough to make it into the kingdom of heaven without humbly surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. You know, you may have a neighbor that's a good person. He follows all the laws of the land. He's nice to others. But the truth is, if he hasn't surrendered his life to Christ, he's lost. Sometimes that's hard for us to wrap our arms around that. That soul is lost. They need to repent, and Jesus needs to be the ruler of their life. You may have work with a fellow employee who doesn't swear, comes to work on time, does a good job for the company, but you know what? If he's without Jesus, he's lost. It's pretty simple. I know we don't like to hear those things today. We live in such a knowledgeable society that we don't want to be told that there's something wrong with us. But the truth of the matter is, if we're without Christ, there is something the matter with us. And the reason why Jesus came to this earth was so we could be healed. Because I can't heal myself. Al can't heal me either. It's only Jesus that can heal me and what he did on the work, did with the work on the cross. We find in Matthew 19, 16 through 21 that there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I've done everything. I give, I've obeyed all the commandments. But when Jesus asked him to sell all that he had and give to the poor, it tells us that he went away sorrowful, for he had a great possession. I think the idea is here, he was trusting in his riches. We find in Scripture that we are to surrender our lives to Jesus. He is the one that is to be in control. And our faith and trust needs to be in Him. Not what I can do. So you see, if we've not surrendered our life to Christ, we are lost. And then we find here that we are to baptize them. When the lost realize that they are still in their sins, they need to come to Jesus as Savior and be baptized. You know, there's an interesting story in Acts chapter 8, 28 through 39. We read about an Ethiopian eunuch that was riding in a chariot. And he was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip, he was told by the Holy Spirit to go up by that chariot. And he asked the man if he knew what he was reading. I think the man wanted to know, who is this talking about in Isaiah 53? And we're told that Philip preached to him from that passage, Jesus. In that chapter in Isaiah, it doesn't say a word about baptism. But Philip must have preached to him the full gospel. Because when the eunuch saw there was water along the way, he wanted to be baptized. And we find all throughout the New Testament that from the book of Acts on, that many others were taught to repent and to be baptized after the church was started. Then the third thing I'd like to talk about is to teach them all things that Jesus commanded them. I think this is where today our churches fall short. We're willing to bring people to Jesus and baptize them, but we just leave them there. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus takes us as we are, but He expects change. Something happens in our hearts, in our life, in our attitude when we yield our life to Jesus. Something should change. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that old things are passed away and all things are become new. We're not the old person anymore. Through baptism, we're told in Romans 6, chapter 6, 1 through 13, it talks about how can we still live in sin if we're supposed to be dead in sin after being baptized? Many years ago, I heard a preacher say that Romans chapter 6 is one of the best chapters to memorize as a believer. Helps you to stay on the right track and understand why we were saved and what it means to be saved. And then we're told in verse 4 to walk in newness of life, knowing that the old man, which was sinful, a sinful nature, was buried in the waters of baptism. You know, if someone comes to Christ and they weren't raised in the church, how are they supposed to know what Scripture talks about, what we're to do and what we're not to do, and what God expects? And even if sometimes we are raised in the church and the church isn't preaching the truth, how are we supposed to know what is expected of us? I feel it's important that we need to teach. God doesn't leave this part out. So it must be important to Him that we grow in our faith and understand what it is to be a believer. So as I said, we're to grow in knowledge of the Scripture. And we grow in the knowledge of the Scripture and try to live a life that we should before Christ and what Christ expects of us. And because of that, that's what helps us to be able to be a witness to the world. We need to understand that when we come to Christ and Christ does what he does for us, it is out of a thankful heart that we share that with somebody else, because we want the same to happen for them. You know, I think sometimes we wonder why church seems to get getting smaller. But if we're doing what Jesus tells us here, to reach out and go out and reach out to the lost, I think we'd find that the Holy Spirit would bless that and we would grow. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go out today and we beat our neighbor up with the Bible, hit him over the head and say, "No, you just straighten up. God expects you to straighten up." I think there's a proper way to do that. One thing is by building a relationship, saying hi to them. It's amazing today that how many people got their car, when they come home, they got this little button up by the sun visor, and they just reach up there and push that little button, and the door opens, they drive right on in, push the button, the door shuts, they go right in the house. Don't even see their neighbor anymore. It's pretty convenient just to not be aware of your neighbor and not be have anything to do with the next person next door. But I don't think that's the way God wants us to be. You know, there's times I've heard of people. There's a couple here today that knows someone that I know that whenever there was a need in the neighborhood, that those people were the first ones there. What can I do to help? It's amazing what that'll do. I had a neighbor a few years ago that tried to commit suicide, and they found him down by the creek in the field with his face in the water. And I was just so compelled. I had to be go right up there and see, what can I do to help you? They were farmers. But it gave an opportunity to share with him, why do I even care? Life was too much for him. He was ready to give it all up. See, Jesus wants us to do those things and reach out to those that are around us. And that gives us an opportunity to share Christ. And it gives us an opportunity to show the world that we really care for them by sharing the gospel. And I think it's amazing, if the bridge is out down the highway down here, that you probably stop your car and you probably put it across the road and wave your arms to try to keep people from going down that road, because you don't want to see them go off that bridge. But what about all those that are on the highway to hell? Do we really care about them? That's far more important than going off the edge of a bridge, because it'll be all eternity that they'll be there. And sometimes I don't think we get a hold of that. I don't get a hold of that. Think of the serious consequences of leaving this earth without Christ. This is why God tells us in his word that we are to go, not just to California or Africa. We're to go where we live. Because you see, outside that door, as soon as you walk out that door, that's the world. And that's what God looks at as being the world. And we are to be a witness. Now I'll try to apply this a little bit to today and challenge our hearts. When we get home today and step out of our car, we're faced with the world. When we leave home and go to work, the same thing. But as a church body, we're told, as the body of believers here, that we're to be separate from the world, where believers gather to worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about that, the marks of ministry, and that we are to be holy. But each one of us that are here today, that are believers, We are the church, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but he's here today. He's here today watching for faithfulness. He's here waiting for repentance. And he's here waiting and ready to convict us of maybe things we need to change in our life. Can't do it without him. I was thinking, you know, if each one of us would witness to somebody this week and bring that person to church next week, you know, the church would double in size just in a week. The empty seat beside you would be filled if we would just do what God tells us to do. Go. He doesn't say certain people go. And if you're self-righteous, go. No, he commands every one of us to be a part of that. It's not just Kim's responsibility to go to Australia. It's our responsibility to go to Pleasant Hill, Altoona, Monroe. Something we need to really think about. You know, in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we are told to be the light of the world. We're not told to hide who we are. I believe this passage that we read today doesn't only apply to the 11 disciples. If it did, the church would have died out a long time ago. It is interesting that from the beginning of the church in Acts, folks suffered persecution. Some of them were put to death for becoming Christians. But Jesus still commanded what we were to do, no matter what the consequences are. There are some today in some countries where Christians are being put to death, losing their jobs and home. We're not suffering persecution here today, at least I'm not. As the worship team comes forward, I would ask this question in closing. You think about it all week. I would ask, if you're not reaching the lost, what is your excuse for not sharing the gospel in your part of the world? And think about this. Will Jesus accept your excuse and let you off the hook for not sharing?